welcome everybody to a new exciting episode of HomeKit Insider. It is me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal Stephen Robles, who took some time away from traveling with the Globetrotters to record another episode. But Stephen, we have a fun special guest with us today that we've been teasing on Twitter already.
That's right.
Why don't you tell me more?
Yes, we're very excited to have the CEO of Molecule, the air purifying line of devices. And so we're very excited to talk about them. But Jay Rao, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's awesome. So we're also glad to kind of have you in on the news bits. We're just going to cover a couple HomeKit things. We're always excited when there's new HomeKit devices out there and such. And so the first one is actually launched, or just last week as you listen to this, but the Logitech Circle View wired doorbell. If you've listened to our podcast for any amount of time, we've been looking for good HomeKit doorbells, and it's been a drought of doorbells. But Logitech actually just released theirs. It has HomeKit Secure Video. It's $200. And Andrew actually covered it as well. So Andrew, just give me a couple more details on that Circle View doorbell.
Yeah, we'll obviously hit this stuff with a full review when we've got it, probably next week's episode, honestly, because I've already bought one. Steven, I don't know about you, but my wallet is hurting this week after buying Apple's freaking new headphones. And now here we are with a doorbell that drops like the day after. So my wallet is hurting. Yeah. At the moment.
It's hurting. It's that emoji with like the dollar bills flying away.
Yeah, basically. Basically. This week. But anyway, HomeKit secure video enabled doorbell. You got facial recognition. You got activity zones. $200 for the basic version. You can also buy a pro install version direct through Logitech's website, which comes with a HelloTech voucher for professional installation. They're not going to do any, you know, like running wires for you, but they're going to take off your old doorbell, install the new one, make sure everything is set up, configured through HomeKit and all that for you. It does work exclusively through HomeKit, just like the HomeKit Secure Video Circle View camera, the standalone camera. But yeah, I'm really excited to test this out. It is using video for the motion sensor, which I'm, you know, a little cautious about, instead of having like a PIR sensor in there. But still, this thing is going to be awesome. The fact that we're getting a $200 HomeKit secure video doorbell after such a long time of waiting. And Logitech definitely surprised us with this. We had no idea this was coming, and all of a sudden it shows up on Apple's website before Logitech even drops any PR. So I'm trying to write things up, pulling from Apple's website to get everything up on Apple Insider. But I'm excited, and also $200 poorer. Jay, do you have any HomeKit secure video or HomeKit cameras at all in your house, or do you have any security cameras over at your place?
You know, I don't, but I've been thinking about it. Right now, all I have is my dog, who's like a beagle terrier mix. And normally, like, someone comes up to the door and he goes crazy. So that's my security cam. But I think I need to upgrade because, you know, you don't know who it is.
That is true.
He'd be friendly and he'd still bark.
Oh, yeah.
We'll make it a special mission on this episode to try and convince you to buy some HomeKit cameras.
Yeah.
So that'll be the goal.
Before this episode is over, you need to have gone on to Apple's website and bought a Logitech doorbell. Because it's better to have that than like a ring. Don't buy a ring.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm getting convinced slowly, by the end of it.
Okay. Next piece of news. This is not really news, but again, if you listen to our show, I have wondered how to pronounce this company's name for a while now. I've said Morose and Maros, and I've been wrong every single time, apparently. But this company who makes HomeKit switches, and they had those outdoor plugs and all that, Zane on Twitter sent me a YouTube video, a commercial, and it's pronounced Maris. Way off. I was way off. It's spelled M-E-R-O-S-S, but it's pronounced Maris. They say it in the commercial, and so my sincerest apologies to Maris, because I've said your name wrong for the past year. But Zane on Twitter, thank you for sending me that. Thanks, Andrew, for never checking me and just letting me look like a fool. But anyway.
We're the literal worst at pronouncing anything on here. I mean, how many episodes or months did it take us to pronounce Akara correctly?
I mean, A-Q-A-R-A. That's pretty flexible.
I'm just saying, Jaya's name is probably pronounced Jaya Rayo, and we've already pronounced it wrong.
I was just saying, like, as we started the show, I again blanked, because we asked you how to pronounce your name as soon as we started, and then I was like, I've already forgotten. I'm a terrible person. But it's Jaya, right?
It is, yeah. You got it right.
Jaya Rao, yeah. Anyway, Maris, Jaya. Sorry to everyone for your mispronouncing names. Anyway, so that's Maris. And also, we talked about the Hue adaptive lighting. This is the Philips Hue added the adaptive lighting feature to all their stuff and with a firmware update. And so I've been living it for a couple weeks now. I don't know about you, Andrew. I don't notice a ton of difference. I think they change. I don't really keep track. It's hard to know. But it's there. Andrew, what has your been experience with it?
This is almost like the world of air purifiers. It is very hard to tell the difference sometimes when it is like actively, you know, on, because you can't, there's not like a comparison in that exact moment to compare against.
I think Jay is going to take issue with that statement in a moment.
Well, I'm just saying, when you have it on, you aren't living in the same space with it off at the same time to like have a side-by-side exact comparison in that moment. And that's the thing with the adaptive lighting. When it's in adaptive lighting mode, what are you comparing it against? All the lights are, you know, that hue. You have nothing to compare it against in that moment, that second.
Right.
Unless you're me and you got a dumb bulb who is not one of the compatible ones and it's just stuck with neutral white. And then you got a comparison. So two of my bulbs in my basement are adjusting with adaptive lighting throughout the day, and one of them is not. When you have two that are working and one that is just the solid white color that doesn't adjust, it is brazenly obvious which one is the non-adaptive lighting. Adaptive lighting is just changing throughout the day so subtly and slowly that you really don't notice. It just feels like natural and fits the time of day and, you know, kind of what's going on around you. And when it's not, it's more obvious. But I agree that if you're looking just at the adaptive lighting, like if I was looking at my Hue or my Eve light strip upstairs, barely notice it at all. It just looks like normal. Just, oh, that's a white light. But again, not a huge difference. But I do enjoy that Hue added that. So I've enabled it on a bunch of my bulbs. And that was the one that I really noticed it that was actually working when I had one that wasn't working.
Okay, it might probably like that True Tone display. Like you don't think it's doing anything, and then when you deactivate it, your eyes burn. Yeah,
yes,
I get it.
Exactly.
I get it. Very cool. All right. Well, last bit of news before we get to our great interview with Jaya, right?
Yeah.
He's gonna check every time. It's gonna be.
I'm gonna check every time. Keep it in. Okay. So last thing, a HomePod updated to 14.2.1. No big changes, but there is that update. You do that in the Home app. You can update the software. Honestly, 14.3 is probably coming very soon with Apple Fitness Plus launching today as you listen to this episode. But that update is out there. Hopefully it fixes some bugs and all that. So you can do that in the Home app. All right. Well, let's get to it. We're so excited, Jaya, to talk about Molecule with a K. Molecule with a K. And yeah, Andrew, why don't you kick it off with kind of what a lot of people probably wondered about Molecule for a while.
Yeah, so the air purifier category in HomeKit has also been neglected, just like our remote category and just like our video doorbell categories. So I think that's why we are so excited to see something else come to this space in HomeKit. We've already covered the Pure Flow from Vocalink. Regardless on the quality of either of these, both companies have clearly gone in different directions in terms of aesthetics. The Vocalink Pure Flow, I think VAP1 is like its searchable name or something, but it is fairly massive. It is, I don't know, there's green lights all over it. So it definitely has a look to it, and in a lot of places it may not mesh as well. And honestly, a lot of the air purifiers that we've seen, that I've seen, that I own, do not look super great. And before this, the one that I kind of liked the best in our home was the blue 211 plus or something is what we have in our living room. And that was kind of like my go-to for air purifiers because, as I was saying, there's not really any HomeKit options. So Vocalink dropped theirs, and now we have the Molecule Air Mini Plus, which has been out there and was updated via a firmware update to add support for Apple's HomeKit. You can see in the Home app, and you can ask Siri, the air quality in the room that the Molecule Air Mini Plus is, and you can control the speed of the fan as well as turning it on and off. And of course, you can set up any automations that you wish, turn it on and off as you come and go from your house or anything like that, include it in your scenes, turn it down to a low setting when you go to bed at night, all of those great things that you get with that added HomeKit functionality. And of course, just as we're reviewing the product and, you know, been testing it around, and our audience from Twitter, we've got a lot of questions to go through. You want to start us off?
Tell us real quickly, Jay, a Molecule, you and your brother started this company, and you started because your brother suffered from asthma and allergies and things like that. So maybe just tell us a quick second, like what inspired you to actually start a whole air purifying company to help your brother?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a unique journey because you're right that this is this was first a family dilemma, and then it transformed into a company. My father is a solar energy research scientist at the University of South Florida. So he's actually the person who was thinking about, I mean, anybody who has kids knows, you know, you're constantly fretting and worrying about their health. And especially if your kid is asthmatic or allergic to anything, you're thinking about the environment that they're living in. So he started looking at air purification because my brother suffered from asthma and allergies. And that was really the start of what became a 20-year-long research journey for him in academia to say, how do you crack this nut of not just filtering the air, which most filters, most air purifiers actually do is just filter particles from the air, but also destroy this whole host of microscopic pollutants in the air. So that was really like the start of it. And then my brother and I became the guinea pigs of all of his prototypes and eventually just felt like it was so good for us that we wanted to bring it to other people. And that was the start of the company.
As we're talking about kind of the company and what he was looking at that was differently, I think it is important before we even get to the question that we saw most often, which was about the Wirecutter review that, you know, was less than positive. We should talk about the technology that you are using in those air purifiers. So you guys are using that, I am sorry already for not knowing how to pronounce this correctly, but Pico, Peco versus HEPA, of what you guys are doing in there that is different than just filtering out those particles. So how is that kind of different? And then we'll get into the actual Wirecutter review and what kind of went on there.
By the way, I love all the different pronunciations. So keep them coming. Don't worry. I like hearing the different variations of how you can sound these things out.
We're going to pivot to a grammar podcast.
Yeah, it could be a great game show, actually. So Pico technology actually works in a fundamentally different way, similar but different. So, you know, traditional filters are just, you've seen them. We've all seen them. They have, you know, there's like a thick piece of fabric that's folded onto itself. And then you try to pull air through it. And hopefully you're straining out all of these particles from the air. What we're doing is we also coat our filter with a special nanocatalyst. And when that catalyst sees light from LEDs in our device, it creates a chemical reaction on the surface of the filter. That's how we're able to destroy a whole range of microscopic pollutants, be it mold, bacteria, viruses, airborne chemicals like formaldehyde, benzene. These kinds of things are all getting broken down into their most basic elements. So water, oxygen, nitrogen, things that are already in the air. I always tell people you could think of it like a zombie movie. And in the traditional filtration world, you're capturing the zombies with a net. But, you know, some zombies can eventually like wiggle their way through.
This is terrifying. This is a terrifying illustration. I just wanted to clear
that up. I even have nightmares now.
I venture into this very cautiously. This analogy works for some people. It doesn't work for everyone. But with Pico, you're like actually obliterating the zombie. Like you're blowing them up.
Mm. So more like I Am Legend over World War Z, that kind of thing. You're just trying to take it as far as it'll go. Just trying to see how far we can take that.
Keep going.
I mean, I don't even know how to kind of fully preface this because I know some people have seen the Wirecutter review, others haven't. But I think that, you know, their big headline that I think is what gave you guys the most negative attention was that they called you guys the worst air purifier that they had reviewed. And you guys had plenty of issues with that. So if you want to kind of go through their process and kind of what you differed in thinking.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, if ever there was a year where the complexity of air really became a spotlight and an issue, and we understood that air is way more complex and we can't trivialize it, this would certainly be the year. I mean, you know, looking at the nature of the pandemic and the way researchers are, you know, it wasn't until September that the CDC came out. I think it was September, the CDC came out and said, hey, look, this virus could be airborne. So there's still a lot of things that we're discovering about the microscopic world of air. And so, you know, our real issue with the test is trivializing science and marginalizing science is not, you know, it's great for clickbait, but it's not good for society as a whole. There's a reason why molecules technology was in academia for 20 years, you know, over 18 plus peer-reviewed journal articles on the actual core technology. So we weren't necessarily like an overnight success, if you will. Candidly, Wirecutter themselves tweeted out they didn't have the sophistication to be able to test molecules technology. They deleted the post later on and tested anyways with what was not a very sophisticated test, albeit they kind of talk about it like it's sophisticated because of the equipment they use. Science understands that it's not just the equipment, it's the process and it's the procedure. And that's why we go through so much rigor. So our issue was that, you know, the testing methodology wasn't living up to scientific standards in our view, and also, you know, ignored vast swaths of pollutants in the air, like airborne viruses, like airborne microbes, airborne chemicals. So air is extremely complex and our technology works on a lot of things that they weren't even able to test. That was really the issue that we had.
So someone might ask, okay, your air purifier filters out things that other ones don't. And so obviously we don't test for those things. But I would also assume that molecule also filters out the same kind of pathogens. We'll say dust. You know, I'm not an expert here. But it was interesting that Wirecutter would do the same kind of test and seem to show that the molecule didn't perform as well. So like what was the issue with their testing where it looked like molecule wasn't performing with the kinds of things like dust or whatever the average things are that other air purifiers were?
Well, their test is a speed test. So it's, was the molecule air filtering out as fast as the other air purifiers, those larger particles? No, in their test, I mean, albeit even their test is kind of like there's an industry level test that's much better at gauging the comparative differences on this scale of pollutants. It's called clean air delivery rate. Honestly, you should just run that test. But again, you know, those tests cost money. It's like at least $5,000 per test per device. So you have to be willing to dish out the money to be able to see how a device performs on that test. But even if you were to look at those larger particles, you know, the thing that you have to be careful of is that, yes, you can filter them out extremely quickly, but with traditional filters, there's always this concern of some things escaping from things that are caught on the filter actually escaping and getting back into the air. It's kind of like sweeping the problem under the rug. You could sweep the problem under the rug really fast, but with molecule, because we're trying to go a layer deeper and we're trying to actually, you know, destroy these things, it can take a bit more time to get to that same goal. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's like an hour versus 30 minutes. And so it's not like we're talking about days and weeks. We're talking about, you know, time in a similar scale. It just would take longer.
It takes a long time to kill a zombie. You can't just brush it under the rug.
Exactly.
So if I recall correctly, they're the basic kind of the high level version of their test. They measure the particulates in the room, in the air. I think they were shooting for like around like the 0.3 microns area was generally testing. And they measure the amount of particulates in the air. Or they light a match to, you know, generate extra stuff in the air. Then they run the purifier. Then they measure it again after certain amounts of time to see how much they were able to filter out. Like you were saying, a speed test to see how quickly they could remove all that stuff, which like kind of Steven was talking about and you were talking about doesn't account for anything below that. Again, trying to pull in all my knowledge here of everything that I have read this week and earlier when I was working on the review of this, but inside of the Air Mini Plus, there's actually a pre-filter, which is at what, like the MERV 13, so very close to HEPA. And then inside of that is where you have your Pico filter process going on to get everything that's even smaller. So you have like a pre-filter and that.
It's actually MERV 16, so very, very
okay,
close.
Okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
You're getting near HEPA level filtration with our device, but you're getting this added layer of destruction. And like, so here's an example of, this gets a little nuanced, but here's an example of what a sensor like that couldn't pick up, what a laboratory test could. You could have things, you know, a HEPA filter is not 100%, nor is molecule. There's some percentage that can escape the filter. But with molecule, one thing we just saw in a recent test that we ran with virus particles is that you can see that some of those things are actually getting inactivated, whereas a HEPA filter is not designed to inactivate anything. So you might see a particle in the air, but it's not, you know, it's like imagine if you chopped off the zombie's arms. Like, it's just going to perform differently. It's not going to happen.
We're going to get an explicit tag in Apple Podcasts.
We should have told the children to turn this podcast off. Children, you smart home children out there, stop listening. This is getting scary.
I know. I should pitch this to some Hollywood producers. I think the concept is growing on me.
I don't think Christopher Nolan's done a zombie movie. I think this is his.
Ooh,
this
is the one.
Yeah, there we go. I got my audience. So really, like, these are the kinds of things where even a particle in and of itself, when you measure it, isn't the same. Like, all particles are not the same. If you were going to look on your ingredients box of cereal and you just looked at calories, but you didn't look at what made up those calories, like, you wouldn't get the full picture of what's inside of that. It could be more sugar. It could be more carbohydrates. So really, like, that's the key point, is that air is extremely complex. Everybody's entitled to do whatever tests they can. But, you know, when it comes to the science, you have to be extremely cautious. And I think the science really needs a voice at this point in time, given the problems that we're dealing with air quality.
Basically, to kind of round out the wire cutter stuff, where we can move on to more fun topics to talk about. Stephen and I, we're not scientists and air quality experts. We know the smart home stuff.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Sorry, mister. You're a Harlem Globetrotter. You're a scientist that's an expert on air quality.
I had that chemistry kit when I was a kid. You put two things in and the water turns blue. Okay. I did that.
Well,
okay. I'm basically a chemist, you know?
Basically, yeah, that's... Okay, we can at least talk to the HomeKit part of it and the smart home part of everything. We've read enough to know what Wirecutter had done in their test, but I can speak for what I've experienced in my home. And I think we talked about this before, Jay, the fact that I have like a whole horde of animals here with like multiple dogs, bunnies, cats, everyone running around, just shedding dander and smells everywhere. And I don't have terrible allergies by any means, but with that many animals in this space, I definitely have issues sometimes with sneezing or, mild allergy kind of reactions. And I can very easily say that in my studio, where the animals definitely come and get in here, I don't have those issues. I feel like I can breathe better. I don't have any smells in here, that at least that I notice. It does seem like it's doing a better job than some of the other air purifiers in my house. I think the biggest thing for me when I looked at that Wirecutter review was, it not only did it filter out those bigger particles and it was a speed test, but it doesn't focus on kind of living with it. So it's like, okay, I lit that match and it cleaned that match really fast, but what about 2 days, 3 days, a month, a year later when it's running every day? I'm not trying to get out those big things. I'm not having these huge pollutants coming in here that it's trying to get out as fast as possible. It's trying to maintain my air quality at a very high level. And I think at least in the time that I've had the Air Mini Plus, it's done a good job for me. I don't know if that's a placebo effect or if that really has done something, but at least it seems like it does. And we can say that I know you guys publish a ton of independent peer-reviewed studies and data on your website. So you guys aren't just making up claims and kind of, you know, going with it. You have that data on your own to kind of back that stuff up. So everyone can go and look at it for themselves and make their own decisions on what you're doing.
That's definitely a priority for us as a company, as a science company, as a company that came out of academia, is to keep collaborating with different universities to study both the effectiveness of the technology and also the application of the technology. So we keep advancing the needle on that. You know, Lawrence Berkeley National Labs is one of the labs that we had worked with to test the technology and continue to work with to test additional devices. And we'll keep doing that with other labs and universities. And also, actually, we got FDA 510K Class 2 medical device clearance on our medical product just earlier this year. So we also try to work with experts at the FDA to look at the technologies and products that we're bringing out, particularly this one that was designed for hospitals. So absolutely.
Cool.
So to kind of hit some questions that listeners kind of sent in, when it comes to cost, you know, someone can go on Amazon and they can just search air purifier and you get a full range of stuff. Star reviews on Amazon can be misleading or not, you know, you can't really judge the quality of a product by that. And so some people, you know, are kind of surprised at how much molecule may cost. What's the difference between you and the cheaper options and why is it worth it?
First of all, like, I love that this is the Apple Insider podcast and, you know, talking about HomeKit integration. You know, I think Apple is a great example of the cost of something also equating to the value of the design and all the other aspects that you put into it. So yes, there's this all this science inside, but we also tried to focus on the entire user experience on the outside of the device. So things like the handle for portability from room to room, things like 360 degree air intake, so that if you happen to put the device up, back it up against a wall, like you're still actually circulating air within the room. So, you know, all of those things were aspects that we tried to emphasize in the process. And even small things like, you know, you might get a cheap air purifier that has a ton of bypass, like air actually doesn't go through the filter. It just bypasses it. Mm-hmm. So instead of like what you're doing is you're basically like concentrating all of these dust particles and you're spewing them out right where the air purifier is. So it's not like people know that or can understand that. But sometimes when you're getting these really cheap air purifiers, they're not like gasketing around the filter. And so you can have these kinds of issues versus the more expensive ones that are spending the money to put all those design elements in.
I really want to know, just kind of because I'm always interested in the development process, what was it like developing your first HomeKit enabled product? I mean, this is the first time you guys have integrated with anyone and you guys did it with HomeKit, which I'm thrilled that it wasn't Alexa and you guys went with HomeKit.
Yeah, I think part of that was because we really valued the Apple ecosystem. And there's no surprise that I think, you know, Molekule as a company really values Apple design. And so integrating with HomeKit was just kind of an extension of what we believed as a value system as a company. Like, I think the big things were for us to like walk through what was the value of even integrating into, I mean, even at the beginning, why do we want to make a connected air purifier? What's the use in that? That was something we thought about heavily. Like, don't make something connected just to make it connected. Like it should have some extra use. Right. So we thought about, you know, the fact that we had just integrated sensing into the device and air quality, giving people some sort of directional indication of what's happening in their room. Cause Andrew and like both of you have mentioned this, Stephen, like that it's hard to know what's happening with the air in your home if you're not necessarily a severe sufferer and you can't tell what good air quality feels like. And so that was, you know, getting that information integrated into the Apple HomeKit ecosystem made a ton of sense to us. So once we had that decision made, then honestly, Apple was really helpful in making that integration possible.
How long did it take you to go through the process of adding HomeKit to your device?
I think from like the moment we thought of it to it happening, it took about 8 or 9 months. But that was like, you know, the moment we just thought about it and we're like, yeah, we should do this. We should definitely do this.
That's really impressive because honestly, that is one of the faster times that I have heard of HomeKit integration getting pulled off. So that's impressive to see.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give credit to our team. Our firmware software engineers are, you know, they've been cranking around the clock to get a lot of features and a lot more features are going to come online next year with this integration. So, but credit goes to them.
One of our listener questions, this is from Jason Aten. He actually has a couple of molecules in his house, and he's not a large sufferer of allergies or kind of airborne things. So he's kind of like, how do I know it's working? Like, is there any kind of at-home test or anything anecdotally that someone can do or notice that it's really working?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of, I'm very cautious to say this because consumer sensors are nowhere near as good as what you can use in a laboratory and can sometimes mislead you. That being said, like they're a great directional indicator of what's going on with air. So I wouldn't necessarily rely on the absolute number that you're getting out of this, especially if it's about airborne chemicals. But if you're seeing things go up and you're seeing things go down, like that's ideally what you're seeing with your air purifier installed. So you can use, I mean, there's some great, I think, consumer sensor companies that have come online. You know, two of our devices, the Air Pro and the Air Mini Plus, have those sensors integrated into the device. And we do that again for like the same directional indicator of using it. And then ultimately, like, you know, we've just seen people do some really a fun test. They put it in the room, they take it out of the room, and they tell for themselves if they can feel the air is better. That's not super scientific, but it is something that we've seen people do.
If you saw zombies in your room before, You bring it in, the zombie goes away. There you go. Easy. Piece of cake.
It's the ultimate zombie killer.
A lot of other people I've seen who have been asking us when they're going to be able to control possibly other molecule air purifiers, the people who've already bought into maybe like just the original like air, and if that's going to be possible, or if it's going to maybe just be the ones that have the air quality sensors in them, or what the kind of plan is for continued HomeKit rollout to other devices.
Yeah, I mean, I think Air Mini Plus was just our first step, but it's certainly not our last in terms of integrating with HomeKit. So like, we're a startup, our resources are, it's like every startup's same dilemma, same dilemma every startup faces. You're always resource constrained. And so we had to start somewhere with Air Mini Plus, but we will be expanding out to more of our product portfolio. And I'll just say, stay tuned for more news as it comes.
So just for you, if you have other smart home products in your house, do you have a favorite HomeKit product or smart home device other than Molecule that you might use or your family uses?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, like listening to you guys, I feel like I always used to consider myself on like the cutting edge of smart home. And now I feel like I'm really on the back end of it. But I do think that there are some that I really love. My favorite Apple HomeKit integrated product is Eero. But part of that is a little bit, it's biased and selfish in a sense, because I knew some of the founding members that were part of the Eero as a company when they just got started. And then what I love about it is that I knew exactly how much effort they were putting on the user experience and the design. And when you know the effort that goes in, you just appreciate the product even more. So that's one product that I happen to really like, just given the story and the journey that I got to see.
That's cool. I met the team out when they had originally launched. I think it was at Apple's Dev Conference that year, the year that they launched. And they were so nice and they knew so much. It was really great getting to like talk to them for quite a bit. But I've gotten much more, personally, I got much more hesitant after the Amazon acquisition, just because, I don't know, it just makes me nervous in general, especially when it comes to like a router that is like the gateway into your home. Like somehow Amazon just finds itself getting into like the most personal spots of your life, like the Halo band that is listening to your voice all day, or the, you know, the new doorbells, that the Ring doorbells that have that sidewalk functionality that like shares your internet connectivity with like your neighbors and pulls it all together for law enforcement. It just gets real personal. So sometimes that makes me nervous a little bit.
Yeah. I was sad to see the company. Look, you can never judge the decisions that people make, because I think they made the decision that was right for what they believed is right for the company. But I was sad to see it sell, because I feel like that team especially would keep doing really amazing things. And maybe they're still there. I haven't kept in touch, but it was great to see the start of the journey and where it went.
Yeah. I feel like I could end up talking about Eero for like another half an hour. Cause I've just been testing their new Wi-Fi 6 routers and everything. So I've just been like re-diving into all the Eero stuff after not using it for a long time. So, focusing back on all the Molecule stuff. A couple things that I want to see these aren't really questions. And this kind of goes into the question that I originally thinking of, which was, what do you want to see HomeKit do in the future? And now this could be specific features or additional product categories, but for a specific feature for Molecule in general, the one thing I wish I could see is a graph over time of my air quality changing. I think we had talked about this before in my really early stuff on the reviews, and just being, we can see that kind of with other third-party products in HomeKit, they kind of do that. So there's one, there's just you guys doing it in Molecule's app for yourselves, not even exposing it to like HomeKit. But then there are those that are in the HomeKit space, like Eve, that is able to plot data like that over time. And I find it really helpful. And especially for something like an air purifier, we've got people asking, you know, how can I tell that it's working? I feel like that would be such a handy thing to be able to see, oh, it's actually working. Here's my sensor changing. Here's my actual number of, pick something, VOCs in the air and how it's changing over time. Partially that, partially do that for me. And then second, what do you want to see with HomeKit, which can be a completely separate question.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that is on the radar. So, you know, stay tuned. And then just with HomeKit, I think, you know, as we're, as we're all starting to think about our lives from an air quality perspective differently, especially I think in the wake of this year and the wake of so many, especially on the West Coast with all these wildfires, my hope is that we can make that user behavior around air quality more easy and more of a just, you know, like a top of mind thing, the way you check the weather. You know, you should be able to ask Siri, like, what's going on with my air quality. But I think that there's a lot more, like, people are still learning and getting comfortable with how to use that. So particularly as we start going into adding more features, thinking about that air quality component and how it integrates into your life is one of the things that we're definitely thinking about with regards to HomeKit and with regards to our own app.
So one of our other listener questions, this was from Boss, but how does he get one in Europe? Do you guys have plans to expand your country availability?
So we just expanded into not Europe, but India, Japan, and we just launched Korea as well. So we are expanding beyond beyond US and Canada. And other than that, I only know of really shady ways to get the device.
Jay just goes into this whole thing about, okay, first you get a man, you hire him off of Craigslist, you slip him $500.
But people have taken them there, so I don't know how they've done it.
I mean, we hear this a lot, I feel like, in the Apple space, because there's people like smuggling in HomePod minis into their countries and stuff that like haven't launched yet. So this is a thing that people are doing.
Mm. Well, anything else you'd like to tell us about the future of Molecule roadmap or anything you have upcoming that you guys are excited about planning on?
I'm always hyper product focused, but now as we're scaling up, I think we're really focused on building out the ecosystem on the digital side. So we finally have gotten quite a few of our full product portfolio on the consumer side. And there's more exciting things to do there, but I'm really excited about what we can do in the digital ecosystem. So hopefully some really exciting updates coming on in terms of what you're able to track, see, and feel with Molecule's app and the integration with HomeKit.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jaya. That's how you still pronounce it, right?
Yeah, didn't change. You got it right. You won.
Okay, very good. Very good. So if someone is interested to learn more about Molecule and where to get them, where do you recommend they go?
So they can go to molecule.com. That's, you mentioned this, Molecule spelled with a K, or you can go to Best Buy or Amazon. And most importantly, you can go to apple.com and get an Air Mini Plus.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Jaya, for joining us on HomeKit Insider.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Well, you can find links to everything Molecule in the show notes. We encourage you to go there, and you can go to appleinsider.com/podcast and look at the podcast article there. And we'd love to hear more listener questions and feedback. We're going to get some more listener questions. We have a backlog of them, so we will do that on next week's episode. We'll try to get to more of those, but keep sending them in. Use the hashtag HomeKitInsider and mention Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. And if you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5 to 20 star rating in Apple Podcasts, whatever you'd like. And that really helps us be discovered by more HomeKit enthusiasts like yourself. And as always, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.